So our first speaker is Fabienne Pezzanti, who's a sociologist and a former independent journalist currently living in Montreal. She was a member of the Jewish Alliance Against the Occupation and currently works with the Independent Jewish Voices and the Quebec-Canada Coordination Committee of the Charter of Human Responsibilities. So the microphone is yours.
Merci beaucoup. I want to thank first the organizers for presenting this panel in recognition of the role Lillian Robinson played for many people in the area of not only in the academic area for her students, but I was not a colleague of Lillian. I knew Lillian for a few short years. We worked together in the Jewish Alliance Against the Occupation, of which, as Meg has pointed out, she was a founding member. We knew each other personally, and we knew each other as activists. We knew each other as women, feminists, and Jews. Put that in whatever order you wish, the pot is full. She was one of those people for whom life was not simple, and we used to laugh, because we both shared a compunction for the dramatic, the complex, and the love of Sisyphean causes. After all, fighting for women's rights and Palestinian rights required our hearts, our bodies, and our souls. I offer to you today an appreciation of her that comes from our experience together as we tried with our fellow Alliance members to make the jump from social and political activists concerned about issues of universal human justice to Jewish social and political activists. In other words, for many of us generic leftists, the Palestinian issue brought into a question, in a very unusual way, our ethnic, religious, dare I say, racial identity. Lillian was an ardent anti-war activist and often spoke of the fight against both segregation in the civil rights movement and the Vietnam War as an American and as an American woman. She was not a religious Jewish person, and yet in this particular struggle, one finds oneself required to position oneself within the frontiers of Jewish culture and Jewish history. Why? Because to challenge the ideal image Israel and Jewish communities hold around the world, you strike at the very heart of the deeply rooted Jewish need for security and well-being. You mobilize in us a fear so deep, so thoroughly internalized, that we have forgotten how much it drives us. Lillian was not limited in her thought, her knowledge, or her understanding of the world by any border. She was a courageous intellectual who acknowledged her roots but was not bound by them. And yet suddenly, there we were, contrary to our beliefs, involved in a cause that gave legitimacy by way of one's Jewishness. After denouncing racisms and discriminations and oppressions of all forms, we are required now to highlight or stress our biological, racial, religious identity, that of being Jewish, in order to have a modicum of right to a riposte, to an answer. And the very fact that we are called traitors, self-haters, Jewish anti-Semites, and the list goes on, underscores how this basic racialist selection and segregation is at the foundation of democracy Israeli style. As women, one of the steps we have to take is to challenge the worsening racial, religious, ethnic divides by continuing to refuse to be limited by these borders. As feminists, that implies that we acknowledge and overcome our ethnocentrisms, so that what links us as women is not undone by repressive nationalism, racism, and war. I give you an example. The Human Rights Watch 2006 study on domestic violence in the occupied territories put the blame and the full responsibility for the high increase of violence against women on the Palestinian Authority. Now I quote you, American feminist analyst, Helena Coban. This study makes no mention whatsoever that I can see of the huge amount of physical and systemic violence inflicted on Palestinian females by the Israeli occupation forces. Israel, as occupying power, has established all the conditions of life and death for the Palestinians of the occupied territories. And they must be held primarily responsible for them. One of the main conditions of life that Israel has established has been its own frequent use of lethal force against all Palestinians, including women. I end quote. In the case of Jewish feminists, we must work to undo the myth of the eternal victimization of the Jews, which operates as an excuse for colonization, as an excuse for Israeli apartheid. We must work to put an end to the double standard. Which one? The one which sees Jewish social activists oppose racism, repression, and injustice almost everywhere in the world under the mantle of Jewish ethics and values, except when it comes to opposing it when Israel is the oppressor. As Nurit Pellet is an Israeli woman who lost her child to a Palestinian suicide bomber. She lost her 14-year-old girl. She also formed the first group for families endeuillées. Bereaved, thank you, for bereaved families. And she has eloquently pointed out, in a state where the mythological heroes are fearless murderers, where the leaders openly and publicly admit that human life is not worth a fig in their eyes, in a state that sends its sons to be killed without even bothering to invent a reason for it, in a state that imprisons millions of human beings in ghettos and enclosures and kills them slowly, the persistent quiet voice of the women in black is the strongest conscientious voice of refusal. Refusal to obey the racist laws of the state of Israel, rejection of racist education, and the routine systematic poisoning of minds that sustains the schools, the medias, the speeches of the nation's elected representatives, as we have seen in the last weeks. I end quote. As Jews and feminists, we need to openly decry the Israeli military segregationist practices and policies which adroitly use both racist and sexist practices to destroy the fabric of Palestinian society. They have culminated in our inability to accept the fundamental humanity of Palestinians and reject, as Sarah Roy has so well put, any human connection with the people we are oppressing. We do not have the monopoly on human suffering nor historical pain. We need to have the courage as Jews to become part of the human mosaic, not remain outside of it. We are the ones who must write a new narrative that includes Palestinians and Arabs in our world. They are part of our reality and our history. And thanks to the many brave Israeli young men and women who are putting their lives on the line to do just that. Can we move on beyond fear? I don't know. But no one else can do it. Israeli society is not empowered. It is a weak and fragile entity that is buying time by killing, by occupying. As women, we know only too well how individual and collective weaknesses resort to terror, humiliation, and violence in order to rule. As Jews, yes, we have seen persecution, disenfranchisement, displacement, and humiliation. But where is our recognition today of the violence we are responsible for? And why is so little pain and horror expressed at what is being done in our name by the State of Israel? Thank you.